we need to remember the really important figures in biblical history. We need to study them. We need to meditate on them. And I want us over the next couple of weeks to focus on their character. We need to appreciate them for who they were and what they did. I'm glad we're starting with Joseph, because I think all of us in this room in many ways can identify with him. Think about it. He wasn't part of the aristocracy. He wasn't wealthy. Joseph didn't live a life of ease. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was a carpenter, woodworker. It would probably be accurately described of him that he was a peasant, a first century carpenter. A man like that would know very long hours and very arduous and difficult work. But I think Joseph probably knew the satisfaction and the joy of doing good work, finishing the job. He was a man with rough and calloused hands. You ever shake hands with a woodworker? Someone who has their hand in a saw, of course, you know. Now they just plug it in. But in the day, his shoulders were probably very broad, sturdy. His arms muscular. I can imagine his eyes, his facial features would communicate. He was probably a man of industry, man of integrity, businessman as well. I believe in a man like that in that day would have, in a small town, been known by his neighbors. And I think he would have known his neighbors. It was Joseph. I think they knew of his skills, probably frequented at his carpenter shop. I think he was probably admired for his expertise and his honesty. You know the biblical record. Joseph hailed from a little town in Galilee called Nazareth. Someone would later say, can anything or anyone good come from that place? And it was in that small village that Joseph and Mary certainly were known among the neighbors. I think we could say, Joseph and Mary's relationship had the blessing and the endorsement of both sets of parents. They were in a betrothal period. This would have been unique to Israeli history. It was a sacred bond. It was a commitment. We would associate it in our culture with engagement, but it was much more serious than that. In fact, they were in many respects considered married. But the one big missing factor was the physical union of the two, sexual intimacy. There was a bond. They were pledged to each other, and that pledge was sacred. So I want us to think about this man, Joseph, the forgotten, or the silent, I better said, the silent character. I want us to notice several things from the text that I think can be a blessing to us as we think about not just these characters, but their character. So if you wanted to do a subtitle for this series, it's Christian Character at Christmas. I want you to notice, first of all, about this man. He was a sensitive man. Verses 18 and 19, look at that again with me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, secretly. So during this betrothal period, he finds out she's with child. But did you notice as we were just reading this, this man very obviously is a thoughtful, considerate husband. Sadly, many marriages lack that. Some men are sarcastic. Some, as we've been reminded in recent days, in a very public manner, some men are very sensual. Even some men are sadistic. And I think far too few are genuinely sensitive to the needs of their spouses. Gentlemen, may I just address us for a moment? I really truly believe a happy, blessed home begins with a man who is very sensitive to the needs of his wife. I think they would be the first to agree that no amount of money, no level of success or fame could make up for a man being insensitive or inconsiderate. Remember here, at this point, Joseph doesn't, it's not been revealed to him what's really happened here. He's in trouble. His life has been turned upside down. For all he knows, his wife has been unfaithful. Or promised wife. How could she have possibly betrayed him? And yet, we don't see Joseph reacting in malice or anger, losing his cool, becoming violent. He didn't even publicly humiliate her. You know what I would call that? I'd call that sensitivity. Thoughtfulness. I think he wonderfully and aptly illustrates the words of the Apostle Paul to all of us as husbands. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his church. Joseph was sensitive to his wife Mary. To his spouse. But I want you to notice in verse 20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This was a man of God, and his character is to be emulated, I think, so practically in the fact that he was sensitive to his spouse. But I want you to notice here, he was a man also who was sensitive to the Spirit. The Word of God comes to him. And he's alert to the message that's given to him by the angel by way of a dream. He's sensitive to the Word of God. It's tragic today. How many men do not have a keen ear for God? Trouble in their life comes. And they're quick to look to a manual or to a man, another man, a friend, for advice, for help. Perhaps they go online. We listen to secular voices, sex manuals, magazine articles, and we ignore the basic spiritual needs that must be fulfilled in our marriages. Man, we need the Lord. We need His Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That can be applied to all of us men. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee, the psalmist said. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. We need the scriptures to be central in our lives. We need to be men of God who are sensitive to the scriptures, listening to God. The Spirit. Look at verses 22 to 23. So all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You know what? Joseph would have recognized these references. I think Joseph was familiar with the Old Testament prophecies, all the way back to Genesis 3:15. When God spoke to the serpent in the garden, and he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. I think sometimes when we talk about history, we talk about, 100 years and 300 years and 600 years, yay, 700 years. I think Joseph remembered prophecies from 700 years earlier. Like this one from Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you ever stopped to imagine Joseph getting this message? Don't be afraid to take her. Go ahead. This child is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of some prophecies. And as Joseph is hearing, that's right. And Joseph now has the opportunity to marvel and to rejoice in the fact that God is going to include him as a very special principal player in raising the Messiah. Think about that. To having a role in the fulfillment of God's plan. It's an awesome thought. God had mysteriously and wonderfully molded a man who would be sensitive to his spouse, sensitive to the Spirit, and sensitive to the Word of God. I have a special heart, obviously, this morning as a man addressing men. But don't the principles apply to all of us? Hey, what better gift could you give to your spouse, if you're married, than ministry to them? Sensitivity to them. Being tuned in. Being gracious. Pouring on the love and kindness rather than the judgment and the sarcasm. That was Joseph. Being sensitive to the Spirit of God who's working and to the Word of God that's speaking. God used that kind of man. Sensitive man. May God help us to be sensitive. Sensitive. Not just at Christmas, but all the time, to God's glory. I want you to notice the second quality of this man. He was not only a sensitive man, he was a strong man. I think that was probably evident physically. I think in many ways he was probably a brawny man. He was a man's man. But, a man can be brawny and base. A man can be muscular and rather mealy-mouthed. A guy can be physically strong and very spiritually weak. I think of Mark. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? When we were at the symphony of the night, we walked out of our seat and we're going to the stairway, and they have this giant wall. It's a mirror. Boy, talk about feeling insecure. You know, I looked at that mirror. I inhaled all the way down the steps. And I told one of the guys that was with me, I said, look at this mirror. I said, it kind of reminds me of these gyms, you know. You go into a gym, and some of the gyms, and everywhere you look is mirrors. And us old guys go in there. We, you know, maybe I should just speak for myself. I go in there, and I just sort of don't look. But you can look around. You see the younger guys that are all, you know, flexed out and buff, and they're, you know, I've seen them over there. They'll get a barbell, and they'll do it about 20 times, you know. And then they'll walk over there and they'll go. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it because I ain't it. My point is, you can have all of that and be a spiritual weakling. And I don't think that was Joseph. I think he was a strong man. And Joseph needed inner strength for his role. I believe he was a man who had strength of character. He needed it. I think he needed it for a couple of reasons. Number one, he and Mary were facing very, very tremendous criticism. Mary would certainly be misunderstood, wouldn't she? Oh, look at that. And I think Joseph would find it very difficult to explain, but this is really what the Holy Spirit, oh yeah. Nice one, Joe. This guy's nuts. Or far worse, criticism. You know, a weak man wouldn't be able to handle such ridicule. This man had been given the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid, Joseph. You go ahead and take her. I've done something special here. And he believed God. And he obeyed God. Listen, that need hasn't changed, gentlemen. We're mostly all adults here, and I know this sounds very crude, but you know where we are in our culture today? A woman in the state of Michigan, maybe you heard this, running for attorney general, and she's doing advertisements in the light of everything going on in our culture today, and she said, vote for me. I don't have male genitalia. That's where we are. What a time in the darkest of dark for the light of the gospel to shine. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. God give us men of character who don't just go with the flow, who don't shut up when the world criticizes you because you stand in the light. They were facing tremendous challenge. Vilification from their fellow man. They had to stay in tune with the voice of their God. And we face that challenge today. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Fellowship one with another, and as we were reminded again this morning, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. Walk in the light. Walk in Christ. Walk in the strength that is in him, because we face tremendous criticism. And then Joseph was facing some tremendous challenges. How would you like to be appointed by God to be the guardian of his son? We were challenged by a friend this week, and I appreciate it so much, about the ministry of adoption. How many of you are thankful God adopted you? Christ. One of the reasons we probably shy away from the idea. There's lots of reasons, and I wouldn't encourage anyone to adopt unless God was definitely laying that on your heart to bring somebody in who was not your own kin and make them as your own and give them legal rights and everything that's yours is theirs. And the special challenges of that, if you have your own children. But just at the, I'll be honest with you, the very simple thing, it'll affect my life. You know, I'm now an empty nester. A few of you here? I know it really sounds spiritual. Oh, we miss our kids so much. Oh, for those days again. Yeah, every now and then, feel that way. But I kind of like it. We can go where we want to go, when we want to go. We don't have to go certain places, don't have to do certain things, because they ain't around. So there's advantages, right? To think of bringing someone into my home and then, oh, this is going to change my life. Imagine bringing into your home, raising the sinless Son of God. How many of you would vote, that would be challenging? Some of you thinking, wait, I would have thought just the opposite. You can do everything. You know. No. Think about it. You're the foster father. Laying out an example for your son or those who suppose him to be your son. What a responsibility to direct, to guide, to be an example, to exhort the child Jesus. How would you work? How would you talk? What would you watch? Ever thought of it that way? Here's how we ought to think. We should think the same things in regard to the children God has entrusted us. Be an example. Then there was a challenge of a growing family. Go to chapter 13 real quick, Matthew 13. It's interesting to note here, just so that you can see the record, Matthew 13. Look at verse 55. Is this not the carpenter's son, speaking of Jesus? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, which would imply at least two, right? So, we know Mary had at least seven children. Think about it. Joseph had quite a lot of people to feed and clothe and to put a roof over their head. That carpenter shop must have been a pretty interesting place, not just of business, transaction, but of training, rearing up sons in the trade, teaching them the master craft. I think Joseph's an example to all of us. Be strong to take care of our children, to provide them physical, moral, spiritual guidance and discipline. And it seems as though Joseph had a very special relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that's what we need. We need to be in tune with our Heavenly Father as we lead and love those God has entrusted to our care. I think we'll be reminded that at Christmas when God in His providence and His grace allows us to gather around our friends and family and be reminded God is good and God provides and God strengthens, God enables. Joseph, this just man, was a sensitive man and he was a strong man. But the last thing I want you to notice here, and this is so, so important, he was a self-controlled man. The Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, temperance. And when the Scripture speaks of Joseph as a just man, and particularly when you read this account and you really stop to think about what Joseph was doing here, Joseph is, and how timely it is, folks, that the Christmas season, we would start by looking at the silent character, if you will. And yet, in his silence, his life speaks right where we are today, particularly as men. And as men who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, our purpose is to glorify God, to shine his lights. And one way we can do that by God's grace, through the power of his Spirit, is to live with self-control. Did you notice, again, the last two verses, verses 24 and 25, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. They got married, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Notice carefully those words. And knew her not. Joseph refrained from physical union with his wife until after Jesus was born. The virgin birth involved a pure virgin and a virtuous man who was characterized by self-control. We need to emphasize as a people of God the importance, the rewards of self-control in our world today. Waiting on God. God's timing. God's command. Folks, it almost goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. We live in a sexually driven society. I mean, I'm 55 years old. And I'd have to just say from my perspective, because I've seen it, it's really only been in the last 10 or 15 years that so much of our, and I say our in quotes, our identification is our sexuality. This is who I am. One part of my life defines who I am. That's where we are. Now, our sexuality is a very important part of our being. It's a God-given thing. It's a gift from God. It's a blessing in its place, but it is part of our existence, not all of our existence. And we need to be very careful we don't slide into this lie of the devil that we identify ourselves primarily sexually. We run into problems when we do that. We're a whole man. See, because that argument can shape our motivation, our priorities, our focus. Here you have a man in a very challenging situation, sensitive to the one who, from all practical purposes, looks like she deserves condemnation. He loves her. He's sensitive to this Spirit of God and the Word of God. He's a strong man of character, given an unusually challenging set of circumstances. But the key in all of it, to the glory of God and to the fulfillment of God's purposes, is a man who said, I'm going to let God be in control. God set the time parameters. God make the appointments. Says he knew her not. He refrained from this activity as the word of God told him to do. This was part of God's plan. He waited. My children live in a generation now where the norm is just to give yourself sexually to anyone you desire. At any time. It's a standard. Would I be right in saying that it's become the norm in our day for adult men and women to cohabitate whether they're married or not? Yeah, in fact, that's the norm. What? You're a virgin? And people giggle. At least on the outside. Who knows what they're thinking on the inside? It's strange. Listen, the Bible still says, flee fornication. Sex outside of marriage. Flee it! Run from it! Wait! Wait. Here's a man who is self-controlled and obedience to the Spirit. And I think that's the key. For Joseph, obedience was the watchword, not expedience. Hey, that's our day's watchword. Hey, will that work for me? What works for me? That's not the heart of the man or woman of God. The heart of the man or woman of God is what works for him. What glorifies him? What a beautiful story, the Christmas story. But it included Joseph and Mary. I think exemplifying two people who submitted their lives to the will of God in order to bring glory to God. And then I think it's important in closing to notice in verse 21. In verse 21, she'll bring forth a son. And did you notice this? And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So here's the important question. Why did Joseph, the just man, name the boy Jesus? And I think we got our answer there. He'll save his people from their sins. Friend, Jesus came to deal with our sins. Why we celebrate Christmas. It's why we celebrate the birth of Christ. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says, and I'm chief sinner. Hey, this is very good news for you and me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. We're all sinners. And since we're all sinners, we need a Savior. And it's Christ the Lord. If you've never received him as your personal Savior, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. The greatest gift of all is described in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, I believe in the account, the narrative of Joseph, you have to dig a little deeper to find it. But I think there is revealed, though he's a silent character, he was a spiritual character who teaches us lessons in character. Are you sensitive to God this morning? Are you sensitive to those he's placed in your life? Those dearest to you, nearest to you? Are you a strong person by God's grace? Strong in character? Strong in resolve to honor God? To fulfill his word in your life? How about that fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. We see that in Joseph. Are you waiting on God? Are you letting God give the orders? Set the timetable? Are you willing to kind of go outside of the societal box and honor God? Keep his commandments? In Joseph's case, we're thankful for a man God chose to foster father, his only begotten son. Thankful for Joseph, but more importantly, I'm thankful for Jesus. Have you received him as your Savior? If not, do it today. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this silent character in the Christmas narrative. Joseph, the just man,